When the red, red robin comes bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Ah, oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And this would be a very good show to share with everybody if you like to laugh. Because we're already having a good time. Well, I'm looking out the window here, and I'll tell you, I don't know if there's anybody out there because we can't see anybody. City of Seattle is non-existent. It is so overcast. What would you call that, Valerie? Fog? Fog? I don't know.
It is foggy out there.
Foggy. Foggy.
Yeah.
Wasn't in my house, but the sun is out. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Yes.
And normally I would say it's a beautiful day because bright-eyed and bushy-tailed across the table from me would be Gary, but Gary's not here.
Gary's in California.
And he's doing what? UW Husky
baseball.
Baseball. So mm-hmm. he's with the men's. Because the regular guy that does the baseball.
Right. Steve.
Steve. Mm-hmm. Something's going on with Steve.
Yeah.
And Gary's filling in.
Right. And so he's enjoying the... Yesterday I did the game with him and he said it was 65 degrees and he was sitting in the sun and it was so nice. He's at Berkeley.
He's in Berkeley.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's where my mom grew up, was in Berkeley.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, well, so obviously Valerie's filling in for Gary.
Right.
And then the other unusual thing is, you look in the other studio, there's nobody there. So this is a very unusual day. Sandy is not here, and Sandy's fine. She just had some personal business to attend to, so she's not here today. And then that's strange. But you know what? We have a full table here.
I know, it's different.
Yeah, it
is. Normally it's just me and you, and then Sandy in the other room.
And then I hauled in my friend and webmaster, Rhonda Dixon from Indigo Dog, is sitting next to me. Good morning, Rhonda.
Hi, Martha. I still have the hallmarks on the back of my shirt.
Oh, from Holly. Well, she's here, and there's a reason why she's here. And the reason she's here is because the guy at the other end of the table, we have been so excited about this show, an old friend and colleague. But I know he's not old. It's just... our history is old, back from our Como days, but he is not only one of the funniest men on the planet, but one of the nicest ones as well, and y'all probably know him. Anyway, Pat Cashman is here.
No, you had it right the first time.
Cat Cashman.
That would be appropriate for today.
Okay, we're starting already.
Question for you. Where is Gary and Steve and Sandy? That's why I had come. Well, I wanted to hang out with them. And
well, you see, it's actually a good thing that they're not here because you see, usually if Gary's not here, Sandy is.
Oh, I know.
Is,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And usually if Sandy's not here,
yeah.
Gary's here.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
But neither one of them are here. So you know what that means?
Yeah, I know.
There's nobody here riding herd on
That's right.
us.
That's right.
So
yeah.
We can do whatever we want.
We're unfettered and free today.
Gary, you knucklehead.
Well, and I have to tell you, because Rhonda's here. Well, because Pat's here, because... Rhonda happens to be, I think, probably the biggest Pat Cashman fan on the planet, because you have followed his career for, like, ever. Have you not?
I have. In fact, I'm one of the original Pat Pack members.
Yeah?
And back when I got my membership card, they were carving them on tablets.
Yeah. It has been a while. You're right, Rhonda. Why would you do that, by the way?
Just in being in awe of the man.
You realize now that you have gone down the wrong path and invested in a stock that has no value.
But, you know, once you start down a road, once you get so far down a road, there's no turning back sometimes.
Yeah, well, you're right about that.
Now, see, I could probably just turn this over to the two of them. And Rhonda came in because she's such a huge Pat Cashman fan, and she helped me do a lot of research for the show today and stuff, and we've got some clips to play and all that fun stuff. But also, she also happens to be one of the funny people on this planet, because you actually are a cartoonist. And you're a webmaster and do creative design and all that kind of stuff. But you have one of the goofiest sense of humors that I've ever met, and I just adore you. So I can't think of two people I'd rather sit with than Rhonda and Pat, because they're both so goofy. And since Gary and Sandy aren't here to ride herd on us, we have no idea really what's going to happen today. I'll try to do our regular stuff, but we're just going to have fun.
Sky's the limit.
We are entertaining the human animal today. And let's see, what else are we doing? Well, let's see. I have some serious stuff. I have a happening today, and then an alert. We've got some animals in the news. And I'll tell you what. Where is Gary? Well, you know what? And here's the other thing, is that nobody can mess
Where's
up the
Steve?
Detail today. Because, well, I don't even know Steve.
Wish Sandy was here.
Oh, yeah. He's squirming.
Is he squirming?
Yeah.
Well,
man.
I miss those three so much.
Okay.
Such a letdown. I thought they would be here.
Well.
You go ahead with your show. I'll just ruminate.
Okay. I'm thinking of what's coming up in the news. It may take us 3 hours to get through the news. Okay. Where was I? I don't know. Oh, I know where I was. I was looking for Gary. No, Gary, see, the rules here on the show is that if somebody important is
you
not here.
You have rules on this show?
Yeah, yeah, the rules
you
are.
You wouldn't know it by listening so far.
No, if somebody isn't here, anything that goes wrong is their fault. And so we have two backups today, because if we mess up the detail, it's Gary's fault. And if it isn't Gary's fault, it's Sandy's fault. So we are in Fat City. We just can't.
I am so sick of hearing about Gary. Let's not bring him up again, okay?
All right, okay. Well, now, do either of you sing? Because that would be helpful in this for this, because I have a happening today, animal event happening today, da 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 da, and it's so hot off the presses. I just got it yesterday. It's not on Current Events, because I didn't want to bug Rhonda and make her put it on Current Events, because then she might not finish her production and be able to be in the studio today.
You'll just make me do it when I get home.
Well, no, because it'll be over by
then. Excellent.
Okay, here it is. Listen up. If you want something to do today to benefit animals, come and join Animals First Foundation today. Today's April 18th? Does everybody agree with that? Okay, that's today. In the Feedback Lounge from 2 to 5 p.m. this afternoon. And you can bid in, I have no idea what this means, real time on rock and roll memorabilia, concert posters, shirts, vinyl albums, and much more. And the Feedback Lounge is in West Seattle at 6451 California Avenue Southwest. You have to be 21 or older. And all the proceeds will go towards medical expenses for animals at Animals First Foundation. And I was going to say, if it wasn't so far away in West Seattle, I would go to this, because, you know, I love music. And that's why I asked if she sang, because my all-time favorite music is old-time rock and roll doo-wop. You know, doo-wop rock
right.
and roll? Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I see. I thought somebody would be able to sing me doo-wop rock and roll. No? Okay. All right. Well, so that's happening today.
I was looking at the clock right now. There's only 2 hours and 47 minutes left. It's just flying by.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We will get into here. I also tell you, since Sandy isn't here, the Animal World Prize Closet is
Wait a minute. Sandy's
up.
Not here?
Sandy's not here.
Oh, man.
You know what? Gary's not here either.
Oh, jeez. But that's okay, because we can blame
him. At least
we've
got Steve. He's here for sure somewhere.
No, Steve's not here. Valerie's here. Yep, yep, okay.
2 hours and 49 minutes. Sorry,
can't correct it. Okay, we'll run Martha's four-step flea plan at 10 o'clock, because the weather's getting warmer. Fleas are happening. And if you want to deal with those little fleas without toxic chemicals, Martha's four-step flea plan will run at 10 o'clock.
The bugs are arriving earlier this year.
They are.
I mean, it's crazy.
Did you, and you're aware of that?
Yes, I am.
Have you actually seen any of those
bugs?
We
have a couple of horses on our at our place, and they are just... there's just a deluge of flies on them, at least a month earlier than you would expect.
Not real, for real.
Because of this weather. Yeah, I think it is. And mosquitoes. We don't get mosquitoes around here. They're everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Honey, let me... mosquitoes? You know, everybody knows I just moved back to the land of no sidewalks, so I'm back out in the
country. That's what Gary said.
And, and I have some wetland-type around my acre, you know, and so there's marshy stuff.
Right.
And that's the kind of worm. I have got the biggest mosquitoes I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, they're like B-52s out there, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they're like huge. But they listen. Because when I'm out in the yard throwing the ball for Annie Golden, they come circling around and I just tell them. Telepathic, if you try to bite me and you land on me, I'm going to squish you. You'll have to find another body. Leave me alone.
I just throw steaks.
Steaks?
Yeah, they just go after the steaks.
Do mosquitoes actually like steaks? That works for yellow jackets at the picnic.
I got vegetarian mosquitoes at my place.
Well, if they're vegetarian, that's good. They won't bite you.
Well, they mistake me, as many people do, for some kind of vegetable, so they go after me pretty big.
Well, they might think of you as a cactus, actually.
There are certain people, as you know, Martha, that have pheromones or some sort of chemistry in them, then mosquitoes will not light on them.
That's
for no,
true.
For no particular reason.
Yeah.
And they can be biting everybody else, except some people give off some sort of an odor or something that mosquitoes will shy away from.
I think we've
now,
all
do you
been
know
around
those
type of people.
Yeah.
Do you know any of those people?
I do, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
I can't, I'll tell you who it is. Gary's one of them. I promised I wouldn't bring his name up again, but it just came into the conversation.
Well, all right. Well, okay. Then we're going to go on.
They'll eat Sandy and Steve alive, those mosquitoes.
Well, we'll give the mosquitoes a rest for a minute because we have a problem with raccoons. This is actually in the alert department. So this is actually serious in the fact that there apparently is a distemper outbreak on the east side here in raccoons. And so if you aren't aware of that, it's a good thing to know if you're on the east side. And the powers that be, well, it says here, humans and cats aren't affected by canine distemper, but it's highly contagious among dogs, ferrets, raccoons, coyotes, skunks, weasels, and harbor seals, and is usually fatal. People are encouraged to call their veterinarians and make sure their animals are up to date on vaccines. Now, I'm going to chime in here. This is Aunt Martha speaking. And just don't panic over this, please. If you have a young puppy, the youngsters, their immune systems are not real healthy yet. And so it would be wise to make sure you keep your puppies from exposure to outdoors where raccoons may be or around. But your adult dogs, especially if they're healthy and don't have the Plechner imbalance, they're going to be okay. And you don't need to rush out and over-vaccinate your animals. So, you know, if your adult dog has been vaccinated for distemper, you know, within the last 3 years, you should be just fine.
Now, wait a minute. I saw this story. I saw this story on TV news.
Yeah?
So you better panic because that's why they put stuff on TV news.
Well, you see, but that's what I'm saying.
Everything
I'm the
they put on TV news is for people to panic. That's why they put it there.
Well,
they
want people
to be fearful.
If that's true.
Yeah.
They do. But see, I'm the balance here saying.
Except they don't
no
tell you that
panic.
Right off the bat. They'll say, there are raccoons in your neighborhood. Could they have distemper? We'll tell you in 2 minutes.
Right. And then you have to wait through the commercial to see what they have to say.
Have you noticed that the answer to that question is always yes?
Yeah, almost always, yeah. Or they'll put it this way. Raccoons have something. You won't believe what it is when we come back.
Yeah. That is so true.
Yeah. We years ago, and this is probably impolite and impolitic to say, but we had raccoons that would come out to our house and eat out of our cat dish all the time. And we were afraid that there might be a cat and or dog confrontation with the raccoons.
Yes,
and so I decided, boy, I sure wish the raccoons would go away. So a friend of mine has a raccoon trap. Have you seen those? You know what those are?
Well, like a safe trap where they're lured in for food and then the door closes.
Yeah, so there's a little trap door and then the door closes behind them and you've got them.
Yeah.
So he showed me how to work it and all of that.
So you were going to trap your raccoons?
Yes. Yeah. Oh. And I was going to move them to another neighborhood.
I see. Relocate them.
Yes, because I couldn't.
You know. I think that's illegal, you know.
I know it is illegal, but I live life on the edge. I'm a scofflaw. And so I got the trap set up and everything, and he told me, here's what you should expect to happen.
Uh-huh.
Because raccoons look as cute as can be. We see those little cute faces. They're something like a teddy bear, we think.
Uh-huh.
But he said, as soon as you catch it, it is going to turn into a wolverine. And that was absolutely true. It just turned into this snarling, angry beast. I tried to, you know, pick the cage up, and it was reaching through the little bars trying to grab
it. Oh, they're good with their little hands.
Oh, yeah. I know. So I fashioned a sort of a couple of clothes hangers so I could hold the cage away from me a little bit so it couldn't quite reach me.
Uh-huh.
And I put it into the trunk of my car. And I put a towel down first, and then I put that on, because he said that's the other thing that they'll start to do. They will begin relieving themselves.
Yeah, pee and pooping. We can talk. It's an animal show. We talk about that stuff all the time.
Yeah, but I never use those words. So then I close the trunk and I drive, and they said, and you want to get two bodies of water between you. So cross at least two rivers or two lakes. Now, this may be silly, but that's what he said.
Two bodies of water.
Yeah, because they'll find their way back. They're that good. So I drove over two rivers and went way out, and then I decided, where should I let this fellow out? I know. I'll go to a gated community. Because these people are wealthy, and they can take care of the problem.
They can afford to feed it.
Yeah, they can afford to feed it.
It'll be gated in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I find one. It's way out in the sticks. And I open the trunk, and it's still snarling. The raccoon is very ticked off at me. And I lift the thing out of the car, and then I thought, well, now how do I get it out of this trap? It's not just a little door you can open, and then they walk out.
They're fairly complicated.
So I kind of...
I can see where that might confuse you.
Yeah, me. And so I finally get him, get this trap, this cage on its upside down so that the trap door falls open, and then the door of the thing falls open. The raccoon comes out, and I jump up onto the hood of my car because I'm afraid he's going to come after me.
Come after you?
And he looked like he was, and then he finally kept up the routine of snarling, and then walked up a tree, and then kept growling at me the whole time.
It's funny you should bring up that story because it's I'm having a flashback. And I wonder, Rhonda, if maybe you're having a flashback, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm having
Is it maybe because, well, see, what y'all don't know, I don't think we've talked about this.
Yeah, I'm having a flashback, too, man.
All right, well, the farm I owned in Monroe that I sold when my dad died and I moved back, and now anyway, that farm, I had two houses on that farm. One I lived in and one was a rental house. Well, Rhonda lived in that rental house for a while. And at one point...
Was that when she was living with Gary?
Gary came later. Gary was after Rhonda.
Okay. Late edition.
Yeah, Gary's after Rhonda. But we had
lived in the basement, I think.
See, you captured a raccoon. We got you covered, but we killed him, didn't we? Because you know what? We had
I couldn't do that.
Had to capture a porcupine. A porcupine that was injured and hanging out and was starting to get too close to...
We kept an eye on him for a few
days. We named him Mohawk because their little quills, you know, stick up on their head. And we had to capture Mohawk.
We had to get him in a cage.
And we were going to also go across two bodies of water, but he ended up being injured, so we had to take him to the wildlife.
Yeah, didn't he go to Sarvey?
No, he didn't go to Sarvey. He didn't get that far. He went to Pilchuck Veterinary Hospital, meeting the wildlife people there, and he was too injured.
That's a good hospital.
He was too. Yeah, it is a very good hospital.
Yeah,
but
that's
he was too injured. He was too injured as a porcupine. It's hard to medicate a porcupine ongoing, you know, and rehabilitate
and
them.
And ironically, porcupines hate shots.
Yeah, do they?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah.
Well, probably. So he had to leave that body and go on. Now, he did come back to me in a cat very shortly after that. But
so this story of Pat's has really opened my eyes because this explains all the raccoons that I've been seeing in my neighborhood and baby elephants.
Yeah. Well, we have our first. I should tell you, folks, we're going to have open phone lines throughout the show. And you're welcome to call if you have a question or comment or would like to beat up on Pat while he's here. You certainly can. You can also send us an email, and we will get to your calls as we can. Local number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. If you are outside of our local calling range, toll-free number is 888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. And our email machine is cranked up and going because first one's already in. If you'd like to send us an email, it's animalworldlive@hotmail.com. First email is in, and this one is for
Pat.
Well,
they better get them right in because we've only got 2 hours and 40 minutes to go.
Oh, get
on it, folks.
Well,
okay,
this first one is here. Now, Pat, I don't. All of our Animal World listeners are familiar with another old friend of mine. She'll love that. Nancy McKinney, former CEO of Humane Society. Nancy McKinney, and she's writing to she says, hi, Martha. Let Pat know that I appreciated his emceeing of the past Tuxes and Tales back in the days when I was running the Humane Society for Seattle King County. The year we had a miniature pony to bring on stage, and he came out wearing an Elizabethan collar, and it was so funny. And I recently worked with him when at King County Animal Care and Control on a filming of Comcast Pets on Demand adoption segments. Keep up the good work, everybody. And that's from Nancy McKinney.
Thanks, Nancy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I do remember shooting those PSAs recently, but I have no memory of the Elizabethan collar.
Oh, on Tuxes and Tales?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Well, you remember, it's the huge fundraiser every year.
No, I know what it is.
And the celebrities on the runway.
Yeah, and
You must have been in rare form if you had an Elizabethan
collar. I
brought
my pet there 1 year. They have so-called celebrities. Yeah. They're pretty liberal with their definition of that, obviously.
Oh, thanks a lot. I happen to be one of those celebrities. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm talking about myself, not you. But
I'm not so sure. I thought I heard a reference to Martha.
No. Your celebrities are very, very, very insecure. And so that would explain that. But I remember going out with my pet, and I remember one terrific, horrific dog fight out on the walkway one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just went.
I must have missed that.
These two dogs just went at it. It was great. And then of course their message is, "Won't you adopt one of these pets?" They're so loving. It's not normally. They're not normally like this.
Well, you know how on that the Tuxes and Tales. By the way, it's coming up. It's next Saturday night, I believe. I think the deadline for buying tickets is over though, because we took it off current events. But anyway, after the auction and the dinner and all of that, the celebrities line up and there's a big runway in the middle of the whole ballroom. And sometimes you have your own animals and sometimes you have shelter animals. Well,
fish.
The first time I did Tuxes and Tales as a celebrity. And I'm not sure it was this. I can't be sure it was the first time, but way back when, so probably like 15 years ago or something, they figured that I, being an animal person, that I could take an unusual animal on the runway, because usually they just bring dogs for the other celebrities that don't have their own animals. And you think they'd give me something cute, like a bunny, you know, or guinea pig, something like that?
Porcupine.
No, they don't have porcupines. You know what I had? You know what I had?
Lizard.
Rats.
Rats.
Rats on the runway at Tuxes. Now, fortunately, they were right. I happen to love rats. But I had two rats on the runway. There you
go. That's a great story, Martha.
Yeah. Well, now, should we get back to business here? Well, it's time for animals.
2 hours and 35 minutes to go.
We're burning right along.
Okay. We're.
By the way, I noticed a sign on the wall in this studio that says absolutely no food or liquid near the consoles ever. As I'm looking at you, got a Diet Pepsi, a coffee, and a bottle of water.
We hit that dump button like now. It's Gary's fault.
That's what I was gonna say.
It's Gary's fault, Eric. I'm sorry. It's Gary's fault. He's not. I told you. If he's not here to ride herd on us, we just get in big trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time for animals in the news.
It's all right.
T You know, if you need some production right here, see, because if animals in the news, now you need some kind of music to play. Ding, 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 some kind of news music.
We have that kind of stuff.
Well, you should use it right now. And then that makes it sound like a production.
Well, I have something better.
I mean, I'm just trying to help here, but that's...
Well, we actually, for animals in the news, we actually don't play any music until we get to the good news about animals, and then we play music.
Because I brought a little CD with me. That I bought years ago. It's called Doggone Country, Favorite Songs About Dogs. And then a portion of the proceeds from the album benefited Best Friends Animal Sanctuary.
Yeah.
I was the other
Seems
person
like
who
a lot
bought
of enthusiasm
that album.
About that. But it's got songs like Where Has My Little Dog Gone? I Found My Best Friend in the Dog Pound. Hound Dog. How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? Stuff like that. Now, that could dress up this little segment.
Yeah? Well, where's that? Do you get the cover for my Jingle
yes.
Cats? Where's the cover of that CD? The Orca clip?
Yeah.
Valerie? Mm-hmm. All right, but let's see what else we... Well, we could play you...
Look, I don't want to slow things down. I was just saying, for future reference, it might be...
Yeah, because we were burning right along.
Yeah.
To install this.
We don't have a lot of time left, Margaret. Martha, we've got... Oh, what do we got? Maybe 2 hours and 34 minutes, but then that's it.
Well, you see, we have sort of a theme that's going to happen here with animals in the news. And because a number of the stories related to animals in the news this week happen to relate to whales.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence, would you say?
Yeah.
And look on the front page of Thursday Seattle Times. Would that be an orca?
Looks like an orca to me.
Do you think that's Pat?
I don't know. I don't want to look that
Should
close.
We find out? Let's find out.
I can't handle cold water. Boy, I'm glad I'm not an orca. Because I can't handle cold water. I just can't. I mean, even if it's just a little bit cold.
Yeah.
I go,
You have a whole lot of blubber, though.
Well,
don't you understand?
Well,
if you were an orca whale, you
I have a fair amount of blubber.
But I'm saying if
and
you,
cold still bothers you.
Really were an orca, you wouldn't. It would be different. You'd have a lot more blubber than you do now.
Yeah, but you know, even given the amount of blubber that I already have, I can't even take moderately cold water. I mean, they say, hey, come on in.
Well,
the water's fine. You know, most people jump in.
All right.
I jump in and my heart stops.
Okay, but don't let that stop you from being an orca, because you could go to, say, Florida.
Yeah.
Or down to the Baja.
But orcas don't swim in those waters.
You could be a trailblazer.
Part of the hot shot orca, you know, if you're going to be
that's
an orca,
true,
you know,
true.
Everybody,
you
they all say, hey, man, come on, it's cold water. Don't be a wimp, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I'd be ostracized by or orca-sized.
You're right. I'm sorry. You should let your dream of being an orca die.
Well, I do. I mean, I don't dream of being an orca. I'm just saying I'm glad I am not an orca.
Okay.
Because I could not handle the cold.
I'm glad you're not either.
Yeah, and you know what else I wouldn't like?
What?
I wouldn't like people making fun of my dorsal fin if it was floppy.
Or small.
I mean, yeah, or small if I had, you know, because, you know, you're swimming around and say, hey, look.
It's worse than a limp, small dorsal fin.
Absolutely right. And plus they'd mock my blowhole, you know, or they'd try to put stuff in it.
Yeah.
You know. Hey, let's put some salt in there. Let's put some sugar in there. And, you know.
Some sugar.
Yeah, coins. Yeah, you're right, Gary. Stuff like that. I just couldn't take... They'd try to put like a funnel on top of it and then see what they could pour into it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it'd be a dragon. You don't have any arms or fists to kind of lash back with.
Yeah, but you have teeth.
So they got big teeth.
So they got to get close to you for you to use the teeth. You can't propel your teeth out, you
doesn't
know,
the
you
idea,
can't throw your teeth out.
Doesn't the idea of not being on a clock, though, and not having to go to work, and you get to swim around all the time and eat without worrying about, I mean, what, doesn't that sound like, doesn't that appeal to you on some level?
I mean, if they had me in a pen and they were bringing food to me, that'd be great, but I don't want to swim around out there trying to find food, trying to catch it. I mean, sure, I can sit down and eat a chicken sandwich, in real life,
right,
but you're not going to see me out and knocking a chicken over the head with a Louisville Slugger.
If you were an orca in, say, at Marine World, USA, would that be something that would be appealing to you?
Well, if I didn't have to do
the
any...
water's warm.
If I didn't have to do any tricks.
For crying out loud.
I'm not
going
to be doing tricks. You know. And I'm not playing that game where some guy's standing on the shore, hey, jump through this hoop. Come here, jump through this hoop. I'd say... Heck with you. I just give me some grub, bub.
All right.
I'd be a surly, unpleasant orca.
Right. But a talking orca, too. Yeah. So
I'd be glad to talk. Sure. If that's what they want, fine, I'll talk. But I'm not doing any. I'm not going to be their little toady.
Are we done with this discussion?
It's going to be one of the stupider discussions we've ever had. But anyway, getting back to Keiko.
Well, okay.
That's why that show is not on air anymore, by the way. It was so stupid.
For anyone, but
however, I would say it wasn't. Isn't Lisa Foster, the female voice you heard there, wonderful? She's so great.
Well, it just
took
me back to our Como days, because we were on. You did. That was from the Como morning show. You were the Pat Cashman show was in the morning. What hours were you on? Do you remember?
They changed them, but we were on, I think, roughly from 5:30 to 9, and then...
In the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, now see, most of the show was before Martha gets up, but Rhonda's an early morning person. That's one of the places that you really fell in love with, Pat,
right.
Was listening to that morning show, because you were...
We used to commute into Seattle every day, and listen to Pat every morning, and...
Well, thank you. I knew there was somebody that was listening to that.
I was the one.
Was that the morning that you just heard? Is that the morning you decided, you know what, I there must be something else on the radio. I'm going to try turning the dial here.
No, but I think there were several accidents that day. You know, people just in stitches that couldn't control their car.
We would just start, like Keiko, I think, was in the news that morning, and then it just starts meandering off into these
weird tangents about things.
Yeah.
And so I heard... part of the show, but I heard the later part of the show, so I sometimes miss some of the goofier stuff that happened early in the morning.
Yes, it got substantially more mature as the morning went on. Yeah.
Well, I don't necessarily, because, you know, my friend Rhonda still goes through grocery stores looking for pineapple upside-down cakes turn right side up.
Yeah, I'm still raging against the man.
Thank you. That was a whole thing where I used to work in a grocery store, and I always noticed this when I was stocking the shelves, is that the pineapple upside-down cake mix boxes, I thought, even in high school, well, those shouldn't be displayed right side up. It's upside-down cake. So
they should be upside down.
So I would start putting all the boxes upside down on the shelf, and the store manager, he upbraided me for it and said, what are you doing? Don't you do that? And I thought, well, what's so wrong about that? And then the more I thought about it through the years, which is like the only thing I ever thought about, I decided that it was a plot by the man to keep me or anybody from doing the logical thing and being told something had to be a certain way when it was just an imposed rule by, quote, the man. So I started urging listeners to go into the store.
Yeah, you had a whole campaign.
Yeah, look over your shoulder, make sure no one's watching, and then turn all those pineapple upside-down cake mix boxes upside down the way God intended them to be displayed.
And folks, if you weren't in Seattle at that time, a lot of people did that.
You could go into almost any market and see them
and they're
upside
all upside down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now you're hard pressed to find that product in most markets.
When Martin invited me to be on the show, I was so excited and I wanted to go out there and rage against the man and show the solidarity.
We called it the Reign of Terror, by the way.
But I couldn't find a pineapple upside down cake mix. So I just turned some pineapple cans upside down.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That, you just went into the store and turned the pineapple cans upside down.
A couple other alternatives if you want to display your rebellion are that you can go to the frozen food section where the turnovers are displayed and do that.
And turn them over.
Or you can go over to the pop section, soda pop section of your store, and turn all of the 7-Up bottles or cans over on their side, except that you leave just 7-Up.
Okay?
But whatever you do, don't take it too far because,
well, I don't know.
A friend of mine did something where the Cheese Whiz was displayed that really was beyond the pale. So.
Oh. But you remember way back then, I would literally go to the bakery section and look for a pineapple upside down cake that I could turn upside
down.
Now,
you don't turn the actual cake over because then that's...
I missed the rule.
That's vandalism, see. But
no wonder I got in trouble.
Martha's not allowed in any bakeries.
No, because I used to turn the cakes upside down.
Oh, boy.
I did. Yeah. But see, it was your fault because you told me to do it. I didn't realize you were talking about the mixes.
And you were the one who turned those pound cakes into crumbs, too, weren't you?
I did. Yeah. I did because they easily turn into crumb cake.
Well, it's because she slept through the first part of your show, Pat. She didn't get all the instructions.
Most people did, yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to get to know Pat Cashman better as the show goes on. And we've got lots more clips. We pulled out everything we could find related to animals. You know, he used to
have... I have no memory of that clip you just played, by the way. That's weird.
I can tell that by looking at your face.
You said,
who is that? Whose voice is that?
A lot of things are hazy to you, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I'm just like looking out the window here. That's my life. You know, it's kind of foggy.
Purple haze.
Yeah.
All right, well let's stay sort of on track. And the most important part of the show, we need to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Please pay attention, because without them, there's no us. We couldn't be having this much fun. So we will take care of them. And
a couple
Animal
of them
World.
Just called to cancel, by the way.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. We better get to it, Valerie.
Take
Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Call into Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for your free on-air readings. Robin uses her ability as a karma specialist, medical intuitive, and metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She's a medium who can talk to your spirit guides and angels. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, including a Fundamentals of Animal Massage workshop scheduled for May 2nd in Abbotsford, B.C., and May 16th and 30th locally in Redmond. For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703. Go online to nwsam.com for registration details.
Join Sports Tangle every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. right here on 1150 a.m. Brian Abker, Brian Bacon, Matt Zarter, and Gary Hill bring unique, entertaining, and thoughtful perspectives on Northwest sports and beyond. Visit sportstangle.com for more information. That's Sports Tangle, every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m.
Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, go to the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com. On the homepage, click on the Jones & Company Pets link, and on their website you'll find everything that's on sale, so you'll know it's always worth a trip to Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville, and be sure to join the Preferred Customer Club when you're there, because you get discounts and free canned food, free dry food. Check them out, Jones & Company Pets, 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets. This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I'd like to talk to you about Robin Alexis. Although I liked Robin right away, I was skeptical at first. But let me tell you, that was unwarranted, and now I believe that Robin is the real deal. Often referred to as the metaphysical mother, Robin's a spiritual empowerment coach with incredible gifts. Robin's a medium, ghost and baby whisperer, medical intuitive, past life reader, animal communicator, and channel. In addition to being a radio and TV personality and author, she's also a Reiki master teacher. Simply put, Robin is amazing. I know because she's been helping me incredibly on many levels. Robin is nurturing, powerful, and did I say phenomenally gifted? Robin can help you too. Her books and personal one-on-one phone readings can change your life forever. Let Robin help you heal and release those blockages so you can experience life more fully. To schedule a reading, go to robinalexis.com, and while you're there, download a free copy of the first two chapters of her new book. That's robinalexis.com, or give her a call at 360-457-2993. That's 360-457-2993.
Alternative Talk 1150 is on the interwebs. Dial us up at 1150kknw.com.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We are entertaining the human animal today. Pat Cashman's in the house, my friend, webmaster and cartoonist, and just funny gal. That's why she's here. Rhonda Dixon, also a major Pat Cashman fan, is in the house with me. Gary's gone. Sandy's gone. Pat can't quite get over that. He said he came only to see them. Valerie is flying the bus today, and when we were, the mics were off, she fessed up that she had a raccoon story to tell and didn't want to tell it on the air.
Yeah.
So guess what she gets to do?
Well, maybe someone will know out there, if not Martha, what you
witnessed. Yeah, you said you had a traumatic experience recently with raccoons.
It was a little traumatic, yeah. I was standing in front of my house, and I could see the street.
Was this daytime or nighttime?
This was nighttime. And I saw a little raccoon run down the street, in the middle of the street, which that doesn't scare me. That was fine. You know, the raccoons, I see raccoons all the time. And then I hear this god-awful noise, and I didn't know what it was, what was coming.
What did it sound like?
I'm not going to try to
impersonate it. Would help the story. Was it like this?
You know what it sounded like? It sounded like a squeal on a car. Yeah.
Like that.
Actually, it sounded like that, and it was loud.
Really?
And then I saw, a few seconds later, this huge raccoon chasing the little one.
How huge? Volkswagen?
No. It was a really big raccoon.
So, like, where do you live? Are you, like, in the country?
No, I'm here in the city.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
I
they're
live
taking
in the Greenwood
over the
area.
Right down the middle of the road.
Right in the middle of the road, about 9:30 at night.
Well, they're very territorial, so that might have been a dominant male chasing a young buck out of the neighborhood, or it could be mom. Yelling at the kid for running down the middle of the street.
Yeah,
it is springtime. Was it Saturday night?
Oh, could be. It could be a guy chasing a girl raccoon.
What day was it? No, this wasn't last night. This was, I believe, it was last Wednesday.
Wednesday. No, that doesn't add up.
All right. Well, okay, we're not going anywhere with that. Let's go back to animals in the news. Like I said, it might take us 3 hours to get through this.
Well, we didn't resolve anything.
I think she tried
to offer a nice, interesting story, and then it was dismissed.
Because she already said she's not really part of the show. So I'm just giving her what she asked for.
Yeah, Martha gave her opinion. She said it could be somebody, you know, a raccoon running another raccoon out.
Yeah, I had three good suggestions.
Yeah.
Somebody else might have a suggestion, and they'll call us.
Okay.
Somebody else might have been there and saw what happened.
Okay. Well, I shared my story, and I'm done.
And are you sure there wasn't a guy with a trap, you know, messing with that raccoon?
Somebody dumping him off.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I didn't think
about
that.
Do you live in a gated community?
Yeah, right.
No
gated community for me, no. No.
Okay. All right. We're safe. Well, speaking of orcas, there was a very cool picture of one of our local orcas on the Thursday edition of the Seattle Times. And it's a deep hunger for Canadian salmon. Nice article if you want to pull it up online about our orcas are very picky. They will only eat Chinook salmon, even though there are more like pink salmon and sockeye salmon in the area. They will only eat the Chinooks.
I have some friends like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they will not even look at it unless there's tartar sauce.
I didn't know that.
That is a picky orca, all right.
Well,
which
then,
is okra spelled backwards, by the way.
Okra.
So you think they would be vegetarians.
Okra spelled backwards? It is not okra spelled backwards. Orca is A-C-R-O backwards.
You got it, Pat.
How far did you go in school, Martha?
Well, you said orca spelled backwards is okra.
Yeah.
There's no O at the end of orca.
Sure, there is.
Do you see an O at the end of orca?
I'm just trying to distract you.
He's doing a good job.
I want you to be thrown off.
Well, all right.
But not too much, because we only have 2 hours and 15 minutes left to go.
All right, and because we have we don't have much time left, the next whale story in the news, this is on the little bizarre side, and I'm not sure what this means, but orcas take on gray whale. A roving pack of transient killer whales, orcas, attacked an adult gray whale Sunday in a Puget Sound rumble witnessed by a boat full of whale watchers. Recorded live by one of the tourists, the attack occurred in Saratoga Passage between Kameno and Whidbey Islands when a pack of seven transient orcas rammed an adult gray male.
Making this noise.
Yeah, very. So they say that that's unusual.
Why do they call them killer whales? They're not...
Because they kill stuff.
Well, they don't kill humans, do they?
No, but they kill, like, seals, and they kill the stuff they eat.
Why don't they call... Seals kill stuff. They kill fish. Why don't they call them killer seals? Why is the orca singled out for that status, is, I guess, my question.
Well, it's probably a very unfair decision made by someone years ago, when we thought they were worse than they were, because they really are nice. Huh? Yeah, I think
so. You know, and who would say killer seal? I mean, you know.
Well, that's
who
true.
Who would name a seal a killer seal?
A cat, a kitten will go after a bird and knock it off. We don't call them killer kittens, do we?
No. I don't really know how that happened.
Well, again, this is this radio show can be it can be a place to create change, Martha. And if you got on that.
You think we should not call them killer whales anymore?
Yeah, you could mount a campaign.
Well, we sort of did that because we stopped calling them killer whales and started calling them okras.
But I mean, that could be your cause. There are stupider causes than that.
I see. You know, we would start that today.
You could pretend like you're full of outrage about it and something needs to be done about it, kind of thing. I mean, like the pineapple upside down cake mix. If you lay it out there logically, and are passionate about it. People will buy into it.
Well, all right. I think we have to look for something that I can be passionate about.
I thought I just...
You gave me an opportunity, but yeah. I somehow...
Okay.
I guess I'm
going to have to go on this lonely journey by myself.
All right. Oh, I've got something. I know. I do have something to be passionate about. But I'm not there yet. Just want to let you know that gray whales are dying and washing up on our beaches. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, what a horrible story.
Yeah, and here's a photograph of the latest one. It was in Friday's paper. And they say that gray whales dying in this area are not that unusual. Now, this one was a 36-foot whale that beached itself Wednesday and then died about an hour later on Arroyo Beach, southwest of Seattle. Mm. And
it is part and parcel to the size of the living creature that it attracts attention like that.
Right.
You know,
well,
if a krill washed up on shore, nobody'd care.
We wouldn't even notice.
It happens all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's like several tons of blubber on the beach now. So, and then in people, it actually says in the article, how many times do you get to touch a whale, dead or alive? So
how many times would you want to touch a whale?
Well, apparently a lot of people would, because they are, and that's what they're doing. So they had to haul it away.
Do you remember the story, I think it was in the early 1980s, of a whale that washed ashore on an Oregon beach? Mm-hmm. And they decided the only way, it was too big to just drag off or slice up. So someone decided, let's blow it up. And so they filled it with dynamite.
Yeah, that's great. You can see the clips of that online.
Yeah, I do remember that. They really did blow up that whale.
I think there's still pieces of blubber that are still raining down.
Yeah.
On Oregon.
Yeah. And it fell down in parking lots all over the place. People got whacked.
Yeah.
And their cars got splackoed.
Isn't that great?
Well, it was really
But
quite
it only happened once. See, that's how we learn things.
But it was really disrespectful for the carcass of the whale.
I don't think
that
he
I
cared.
Could get, well, I did. It's like at Halloween, people smash pumpkins. Nobody cares about the feelings of the pumpkin.
Do plants and pumpkins have specifically feeling? Feel pain?
Yes, they do. Huh. They do.
You can see it on their faces at that time of the year.
All right, do you want to know what I'm passionate about?
I'll never eat pumpkin bread again.
I would have liked to have been the guy that pulled the plunger on that orca, wouldn't you?
Well, no, Rhonda.
Just think, I mean, wow.
It isn't okay to blow things up, especially bodies.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
I think it was totally disrespectful.
Yeah, I guess that was what was cool about it.
Yeah.
All right, now you're starting to heat me up here. Because listen to
She's
this.
She's getting passionate now.
I am. Whale meat found.
My plan is working perfectly.
Whale meat found in the United States.
In Oregon.
On the beach.
Meat from whales killed as part of Japan's scientific hunt was served last year in upscale sushi restaurants in Los Angeles and Seoul. I think that's in Korea, isn't it? Now, how does that happen? I mean, hunting whales is supposed to be illegal, and Japan, of course, is using a loophole and saying that they're killing them for scientific purposes and research. But if they're really doing it for scientific and research, how does it end up in a sushi bar in Los Angeles?
Well, once the research is done, what are you supposed to do with what's left over?
You can't blow it up.
All right. You know what happened, though? The guy, the owner of that restaurant was arrested. He's apologized now because he's been charged with the sale of illegal sale of marine mammal product.
Where was the restaurant again?
Los Angeles.
Mm.
And Seoul, Korea.
That's where they... I believe that's called soul food whale from that region.
Okay. Here's another thing that might upset someone. The hazing of the sea lions to save the salmon. That's a big thing. There's a whole article, by the way, if you want to pull it up, from Seattle Times this week. That, well, you know, the salmon collect at the bottom of the dam, and the sea lions come and eat the salmon, which ticks off the humans because we want to hunt the salmon. So we've got a...
So they make them go through hazing rituals?
Hazing rituals, that's what they're doing. And they're shooting off... Well, tell us the whole story of how they haze these sea lions.
Haze a sea lion.
With exploding things. They're blowing stuff up.
Swim through your legs and then you spank him as he goes through?
Well, not quite. See, the guy's standing with a gun.
That's a good hazing technique, using a gun. Yep.
Well, I think...
That'll get them every time.
It says what they do in all of this.
Well, you know, sea lions are just... they're in line for salmon dinner just like humans are.
Oh.
I think if we were willing to dive into the ocean... and get salmon ourselves the way the sea lions are, then we would have a greater room for complaint.
Yeah, well, we're done with sea lions. I can't even, I'm going to apologize right now, folks, for whatever happens with this story. Because when I first started to read it, I was chuckling until I realized what really happened. And then it's not funny, but I hesitate to even bring this up.
Is dynamite involved?
Yeah, you are hesitating.
But a crash is. Imagine a pair of eagles and a taloned... Well, you know how eagles mate? Do you know how eagles mate? The eagles, the male and female, come together in the sky and they lock their talons and then do a spiral dive from the sky while they're mating.
The way humans would if they could fly.
And then they stop and fly off.
Aren't they the only birds that mate in the air like that?
I don't know if they're the only ones, but they are birds.
It's rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, well, we're in Anchorage, Alaska now.
Pilots and stewardesses do something similar. But
we're in Anchorage, Alaska now. Can you see these two eagles?
Oh, my.
Yeah, yeah. See these two eagles?
This is great radio, Martha. See those two eagles, folks?
Well, all you see in the photograph is lots of snow, and then you see the butt ends and the ends of the wing feathers of two eagles sticking out, because these eagles were mating in the sky, and apparently. Let's see. It's mating season for eagles, which perform an elaborate ritual where they clasp talons and spiral toward the ground. This pair probably got caught up in the throes of the moment, according to the wildlife expert, and they forgot what they were doing, and they crashed into the snow. And so there's two eagles butt up in the snow.
And that made it into the newspaper.
That made it into the newspaper.
Slow news day.
And it made it into Animals in the News. I mean, how many times do eagles get carried away?
Isn't it amazing now?
And plunk into a pile of snow and have to be pulled out by humans.
Isn't it amazing now, if you live around here, where eagles used to be so rare that you see them everywhere in downtown neighborhoods, They're. I don't know if they're still technically endangered anymore, but boy, they're not in short supply.
And they're all over now.
There's a great, magnificent eagle that is sitting on the 520 bridge now. I don't know if you've noticed him. He's invariably sitting on one of those lamp stanchions there, or the light stanchions.
Well, quite a few of them live around Foster Island, and actually, the neighborhood I moved out of, where I took care of my dad, was Laurelhurst. You know, and that's right in the middle of the city, the University of Washington. We had an eagle nesting pair a block away from my house in a little park in the middle of Laurelhurst.
It's wonderful. I mean, it's very cool to see. However, I've read, you probably know, Martha, that they are endangering now gray herons.
I just had that. Speaking of that, we had that in the news just a week or two ago.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was last week. Because the eagles now are so populous.
Right.
And that we're destroying so much of the habitat that the two habitats are crossing.
Yep.
And now the eagles are endangering herons.
It's always to find the balance when you're trying to help a species recover. You're going to put another one at peril at the same time. It's like a complicated game of chess.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Because everybody loves the herons, everybody loves the eagles. But the eagles apparently are raiding the herons' nests.
Now they're killer eagles.
Uh oh. There you go. That's what we'll do with the killer orcas. The killer whales are no longer killer, and eagles will now be killer
birds. Well, the killer
birds.
Whales are now in good company because they've got killer eagles with them.
I think killer eagles were a punk band, I think, in the 1980s.
Wow.
Did an alternate version of Hotel California.
Well, I think we're going to wrap up the news.
Oh, nuts.
Because I have some more news stories, but you know what? I think they're not timely enough that I have to do them today. The subject matter is so questionable that I'm not even bringing it up. Because just trust me. It's time for the best good news about animals. See, we have music.
Yeah, you do. That's good.
And it always works, too. The sun comes out, but it's actually already out. All right, well, I had to look far and wide to find a good news story this week. But I did find one. And that's, finally, there is some good news from the jungles. Conservationists in the government of India have sighted 117 tiger cubs in 9 reserves in the past 15 months. Favorable developments are happening in the National Tiger Conservation Authority, but wildlife officials are keeping their fingers crossed, hoping the cubs grow up safely. In the past few years have been worrisome for tigers in India. Over 135 have died since the last census of tigers in 2006. To make matters worse, 80 tigers died in the 9 reserves between January 2009 and March 2010. That's the bloodiest, the most dead tigers ever in that period of time. The increasing numbers of tigers means that breeding is happening in the reserves, which is good news. But only adult tigers are counted in the census. And the good news with 117 tiger cubs is that they're hoping they'll all grow up healthy and be able to breed. And so the good news is that the tigers are breeding in the reserves, and so maybe they'll stay on the planet. So there you go. That's all I got in the good news department. Had to stretch. And look at that. How much time have we got, Pat?
I've lost count, but I believe you've got about 2 hours and, say 25 seconds.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. That means that we're going to wrap up the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. The weather's getting warmer, and it just needs to be consistently above 50 for those fleas to start hatching. So it's time to pay attention. If you had fleas on your animals last year, you're going to want to pay attention so that you can get rid of them in your outdoor as well as your indoor environment this year, so you don't have to deal with it anymore. So stay tuned. If you'd like to do that without toxic chemicals, we're going to play Martha's four-step flea plan. We'll regroup here in the studio. We've got 2 hours to go. Pat.